Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, how nice. It's time for our Reasons to be Happy slot, and content creator with Today FM, Cathal O'Sullivan, has joined me for Reasons to be Happy. Cathal, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Claire. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. And I'm glad you're going to lift our mood now. Absolutely. That I have realised that I'm swimming in an, you know, cesspit of online activity as a parent. So this is just what we all need to lift our mood. But do keep your texts coming in on that discussion point as well. But first, we're going to be talking about this. She's done things I've never expected,
and I need more. So fans were not happy at the weekend. Oasis tickets went on sale. Obviously, some fans were happy that they were coming back. But a lot of people were disappointed when they didn't get tickets, me included, and going
Same.
Up. Yeah. And look, we all, I suppose, had to take it and say, look, we might get an extra date, hopefully, in Croke Park, that we get another shot at it. But what kind of really angered fans was when they got to the end of the queue. My brother was in the queue for us, and he was 13,000 when he went in first, and he got to the top, and all of a sudden it reloaded and tickets were like €490 each. And this is because of this dynamic pricing that we've all been talking about over the past couple of days. But now the European Commission are investigating Ticketmaster's dynamic pricing, saying that it may have breached EU rules. So this could end in a good way for us, saying that it might stop dynamic pricing. The dynamic pricing is common in the US. It's kind of like, I suppose they're saying it's like flights or anything like that with airline companies. They can control the price when there's demand for it. But it's a Dutch MEP told The Guardian in the UK that she wanted new laws to protect consumers against this type of price inflation. So we were looking at like 86.50, I think, was the cheapest at the time. But then in the UK, they went up towards a grand, which was insane.
And we spoke about it here on the show when people were ringing in. And one of the callers was talking about, he has a museum in town, so he gets a lot of tourists in, and he had a lot of American tourists in around the time of Taylor Swift. It was cheaper for them to fly transatlantic to Dublin and pay for a hotel and their Taylor Swift tickets than it was back in America, because obviously you're talking about a bigger pool of people. So with dynamic pricing, it obviously goes well into the thousands. I mean,
it's crazy.
That's like, insane. Yeah.
And it could have breached EU rules because they may have not given the fans the necessary material information, as in they didn't tell them the correct pricing or that there would be dynamic pricing in place. So good, could be good news for Oasis fans going forward.
Yes. And people were also talking about like the word platinum popping up, that all of a sudden you're looking at a platinum ticket and people are panicking and they're after getting through and they're like, sure, why don't I pay £1,000? Sure, I really like them. I have that saved. I'll do it. And then it's just a normal ticket like everybody else.
And it's crazy. And hopefully going forward, fans will be able to, I suppose, get the right ticket and the right experience.
The European Commission are going to sort it all out. Right, let's talk about the perfect pub then.
The perfect pub. And what is the perfect pub? I suppose it's down to, I suppose, taste and what everyone else likes and your own kind of style and what you like to enjoy. But in the UK, it's a company have done a survey to find that the top 10 must have amenities for the perfect pub. Now, this in the UK include, number one is food, which I don't think would be for us really here in Ireland.
But eating's cheating.
Yeah. Number two is pub garden, or beer garden, I suppose. Number three, atmosphere. Four, music. Five, beer selection. I think we'd be happy with one here in Ireland sometimes. Six is a Sunday roast, which is a huge kind of staple of the English pub. Mm. Live music, sports on the telly, good Wi-Fi and a happy hour. None of them really stand out to me.
Now, look, I do love pub grub. I mean, and we do it really well here in Ireland. I love all the different places where
Absolutely,
you can get
yeah.
the soup, the brown bread, the seafood.
Seafood chowder, by the fire.
The Guinness, the
stop.
Fire. I mean, that is, you're
Come on,
right.
Go.
No, you're right. You're right. I was totally joking when I said eating is cheating. Eating is life. But what would be on your top list?
So I've made a little bit of a list here, and I have a snug has to be there for the winter evenings. Mm. So that is an element. A fire, winter evenings again. But when it comes to, I suppose, summer, a good beer garden, nice pint of Guinness, nice staff actually wasn't on the English list. And I think that makes a place as well. The fact that you could go in there alone and talk to the staff and just enjoy yourself on your own. Also, a bit of diddly. You don't want someone who can't sing Oasis on a guitar in a corner. I don't mind a bit of a fiddle and a flute and a baron going in the back, but it can't be too loud. You have to be able to hear yourself think.
Me too. I have to be able to chat. Like, that's half the reason you're there.
Absolutely. And like in the UK, it came to beer selection. 57% of men considered it crucial for the perfect pub to have a good beer selection. I think we'd probably, here in Ireland, a lot of people would consider maybe one or two beers and then they're happy out. Now, there are those that do like the IPAs and the stuff like that. Another younger patrons, 18 to 24, were the ones who prioritised food the most, which I found, I suppose, surprising in the UK. But I do think we'd have a different list here in Ireland.
How do you feel about a theme? Like, I'm thinking of, is it Foxy John's down in Dingle? And it's a hardware store at the front and a pub at the back. And there's all stuff hanging down from the ceiling.
I'm here for that. Like, I do love
a bit of that.
Foxy John's. And actually, shout out to Kearns across the road, or Benji's in Dingle. It's probably my favourite pub in the world.
Yeah.
It's just like a little small room at the front, big out the back. So you can have the party, but you can also have the little crack in the front.
Dick Max. I mean, I actually don't think you can find a bad pub in Dingle. Yeah. Let's be honest. But they tick some of those boxes. It's cozy, it's warm, staff are lovely, there's something to look at.
Yeah, you can do it in summer, you can also have it lovely in winter. It's just, I don't know, bliss.
Yeah, absolutely love it. Okay, now this is a good one.
The sound of the excellent and the fabulous and the gorgeous Harry Styles there. But fans of his have been flocking to the Twemlow Viaduct after learning that the pop star spent time there in his youth. Now, a grade 2 listed viaduct where Harry Styles is rumoured to have had his first kiss is being protected from well-meaning damage caused by the pop star superfans. So if you take to Twitter now, listeners out there, you can see at Twemlow Viaduct, there's like people writing on the viaduct, people signing their name, people leaving flowers, people leaving pictures. And it's near his home village of Holmes Chapel in Cheshire. And it's a must-visit destination for fans from all around the world, as far as Bangladesh. And it's where he had his first kiss. And I just think, okay, there's an element of, okay, crazy fan. But there's also an element of, this is kind of lovely.
Where was your first kiss? I mean, was it as romantic as a viaduct?
A Tesco car park in Portlaoise.
Yes, it was.
I'd love to know other people's first kisses. But yeah, the principal route engineer, Rob Stevens with Network Rail, he says they understand how much the viaduct now means to Harry Styles fans, and there is a need now to treat it with kindness and kind of give it that protected status. But yeah, it's a far cry from a Tesco car park in Portlaoise. There's nobody signing their name there with my initials.
Not yet, Cole. Now, are we talking like first time you locked lips with another in a romantic sense? Or do you have to be more moved into the teenage? I mean, I would put mine down as being first class behind the coat rack in my classroom.
Oh yeah, well, I suppose I'd call that a peck, maybe.
Yes.
Now a proper kiss is probably teen years, like.
Yeah.
For, like, I suppose the Guinness World Book of Records, if you were taking it down like that.
No, I'd much sooner stick with that one than, you know, that horrible experience at a disco and that taste of hot dog that I still think of to this day.
Hot dog and extra chewing gum.
No. Do let us know where your first kiss took place, please. And now, I love a good dog story.
Me too. And dogs are just, you can't help but fall in love with them. And this tourist whose dog was rescued off the cliff, a cliff in County Donegal, is kind of praising the amazing support of locals who helped find her family pet. So Sarah Requinos Ralda was walking her Burmese mountain dog, Mali, on Arranmore Island on the 16th of August when she ran off in high winds. But she has since been returned home, and they're saying they're really happy to have her back. A member of the public climbed down the cliff and got the dog back up, and she had become trapped on a ledge. Her lead got caught. And I think this is just so Irish, so typically Irish and lovely, and shows, I suppose, the community spirits out there in the likes of Arranmore and all that. The owner, Sarah, added that she wants to give a big shout out to the people of Arranmore who searched every day. Now, this is 16th of August, so this is 3 weeks ago easily, and this only came out yesterday that they had rescued her. So I feel like she was rescued on the weekend. But she's originally from Germany, spending the summer in Ireland. And Mali, the dog, got a lovely little breakaway on the coastline, but she's been safely returned home. And if you do love a good dog picture, head to the Twitter or online or wherever you want, get your, I suppose, posts, and you'll see a lovely picture of Mali because she's just gorgeous.
And you see this, like, renews our sense of human nature. There are far more good people than bad in this world, and that's why we have this feature. Right, last up this.
Tell me tomorrow, I'll wait by the window for you.
Are you a Gavin Stacey fan? Did you watch it?
No, I never watched it. Do you think I should go back and binge?
I think you have the time now. It's coming at Christmas, the finale. They obviously announced this a little bit earlier in the year. James Corden and Ruth Jones, who wrote and created the series, they announced that it was coming back for one final stint. And I think it's going to give fans that closure. So spoiler alert, and spoiler for you, I suppose, if you might go back and watch, but one of the characters proposed to the other at the end. I'm not going to say who, so you won't know, but at the end of the last Christmas special, which was a couple of years ago. And we will now kind of get the closure to see, did they get married? Did they follow through? Where are we going to pick up? Obviously, it's loved and adored by fans all around the world. And people do genuinely love, like, James Corden gets a little bit of stick nowadays, but this is his bread and butter. This is where he started. And people have such a grawl for the characters of Nessa, Smithy, Gavin, Stacey, and even Pam and Mick. You'll learn all these when you binge, don't worry. But in July, they confirmed that the script was complete and now they've started filming. He posted on his Instagram pictures of Smithy, who he plays James Corden's car. He's a handyman around the town in Essex, and he's posted a picture of the car showing that Smithy's maybe going back to his roots and back to Essex and fixing stuff. But who knows what's going to happen when it comes to the wedding.
And do they take into account the amount of time that has passed by? They don't pretend we're picking up exactly where we left off. Are we saying this is like years on?
I'd assume so. So it was in, I'm fairly sure, I'm going to say 2021 maybe, or 2020, that we got the last one. Where the proposal happened.
So it wasn't that long ago.
No,
really.
It wasn't that long ago. And hopefully we'll be picking up maybe within, I don't know, 2 years or 3 years of that. It could be the case that we pick up immediately after the proposal. But I feel like they might have let the time pass and we'll come back and see that has the wedding happened. But also I'd love to see the wedding.
Now, I like a nice feel-good series that just washes over me and people that I can, you know, think are my friends. I get so invested in it. So I think I'd like
you.
It.
Yeah,
I think
go
I would.
It.
Catherine has also texted in to say, you have to watch Gavin and Stacey. It's great fun. Here having a coffee with Cahill's dad in Kavanagh's pub in Port Leash, and he's never going to park in Tesco's car park again.
Oh, no.
Poor Mick.
Poor Mick is right.
My first kiss is another. It was in a garden shed playing spin the bottle. And someone else says, no, it has to be where you first lob the gob. It is not a peck. And like I even say as a parent to my kids, you know, like, wait, like, please wait. Don't. It's the one thing I hate about going into the teen years is these boxes that you feel you have to tick.
Yes,
you need to
absolutely.
Get it over and done with. And you just.
Well, it's one of those things that like that. They might wait till 25 till they tell their parents where their first kiss was.
Maybe that is for the best. Carla Sullivan, thank you very, very much for coming on.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.